Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you.
God bless you, saints. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace upon us today, Lord. Lord, we ask you to open our understanding today. We don't want to be deceived by the strong delusion that many will be swallowed up by. We ask you to give us discernment of the times, discernment of what you've actually written to us, Lord, in your word. It can only come by your spirit. We have no need that any man should teach us, but we have that anointing. Lord, bless us with that anointing, O Lord, that will open our understanding and break the bondage of delusion of the letter of the word and the delusion of the traditions of men that have kept us captive, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, God. Well, we've been talking about the beast, and we're kind of getting prepared to talk about the beast covenant. But I want to go a little bit further. If you haven't been following with us and you're coming into the middle of this study, it would be good if you'd go back and listen to previous chapters. What we discovered is something very unusual. We're using a lot of scripture because we're having to overcome a lot of traditions of men. God's people are being deluged with the letter that killeth. And a strong deception and delusion is upon the people of God concerning the end times. They will not recognize the things when they come upon this world because of the letter of the law. You know, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Did you notice there's only two people in this earth? There's you and the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Greater is the Christ who is in you than the beast or the Antichrist that is in the world. And the Bible clearly tells us that everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is come in our flesh. That's what the Scripture teaches. It's the great hope of His glory manifested in His people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is not coming in His old flesh because He has a glorified body now. But He is coming in the flesh of His body, the saints. And you know, Jesus pronounced in Matthew 24 and verse 40, he said, then shall two men be in the field. And the field, of course, is the world, according to Matthew 13. One is taken and one is left. Jesus said there are two men in this world, just two men. And as we are one man in Christ, Galatians 3 and 28, so the whole world lieth in the evil one, 1 John 5:19. And the Lord said that he that is not with me is against me. Do you know what against Christ means? It's antichrist. He that's not with me, that is in the body of Christ, is against me, that is in the body of antichrist. I want to look a little bit at the scope of this body. I backed up just a tiny bit from into last week's, but I want to look at the scope of this body. You know, after the first two world ruling empires, the Bible calls them heads, seven heads, which was Egypt and Assyria. Daniel had a vision of the next six heads that Revelation talks about, the eight heads. He had a revelation of from his day forward of the next six heads in one image, which is all mankind in one image of the beast. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31 says, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This image, which was mighty and whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the aspect thereof was terrible. And as for this image, its head was of fine gold. And Daniel said to the king, thou art the head of gold. Its image was of fine gold. That was Babylon. That was the third head. Its breast and its arms of silver. That's Medo-Persia, and that was the fourth head. Its belly and its thighs of brass, and that was the Grecian Empire, and that was the fifth head. And then in verse 33, we're told its legs are of iron, and that was Rome, and that was the sixth head, which also became the seventh and the eighth head, as we read here. Its feet part of iron and part of clay. That is going to be the seventh and the eighth head. Seventh head, we're told in Revelation 17, is only going to be for a short time. And that is the dragon. It's only given 3.5 years. And then the eighth head, of course, is the beast. Both of them, 7 heads and 10 horns. And meaning, why would they be in the end time 7 heads, since most people think these kingdoms all passed away? Well, their dominion, Daniel said their dominion passed away, but their lives were prolonged. You see, the seed of all of these kingdoms is still with us today. And in fact, they're all with us in the United Nations today, in one kingdom. That's right. 8 world-ruling kingdoms, and all under them represent the United Nations in one beast. You say, David, is it going to be called the United Nations? I don't know, but I know it's going to be the United Nations. All nations gathered together, because the Scriptures clearly shows us that. And what is this? This is the beast. The beast is not an individual. The beast is all nations gathered together into a one world order, a covenant, if you will. Just as the body of Christ is gathered together in a covenant, so the body of Antichrist is gathered together in a covenant. You want to know what the covenant is? I'll tell you what the covenant is. It's 7 heads and 10 horns. Some of you are thinking it's going to be a covenant between a man and Israel. You're going to be greatly deceived if you don't change your mind. Because that is just the traditions of men. It's not what the Word of God has to say. Read the book of Revelation. You'll find the covenant there. Some people only find it in Daniel 9. But the book of Revelation tells us plainly. 7 heads and 10 horns in the first 3.5 years. 7 heads and 10 horns in the second 3.5 years. Revelation 12, Revelation 13. Read it. It's an agreement not between Israel and a man, or even between Israel and the United Nations. It's an agreement between the nations of the world, including God's people. This is the offensive part to God. Is because God, throughout the Scriptures, when God's people made a covenant with men for the sake of advantage, it's been an abomination to God. He hates it. Our covenant is with the Lord, and it's totally against the world. Okay? Now, this revelation we're looking at in Daniel chapter 2 here, the common view of this is I've called the historical view, because it goes over a long time of history. Okay, and but Daniel also identified this as an end time view, because in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28 it says, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So there is an end time view. Why? Because all of these nations are now gathered together. All of these kingdoms are now gathered together in the end time. The seed of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, revived Rome, are all gathered together now into a one world order. All authority has not yet been given to that one world order. We're waiting for a war to come to pass that is going to bring this to pass. This war is going to frighten the world into giving authority to the beast. See, the difference now is the UN has very little authority. Anybody can unilaterally go out there and do anything they want to do if they're big enough, kind of like America's been doing, right? It's throwing its weight around. By the way, who's at the top of this image of all lost mankind? Well, it was Babylon, the great eagle in Ezekiel 17. That's actually ruling the world today, folks. We are coming right into this this vision right now. It's going to be seen by those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. America is the head of gold. And not only that, if you see this as in the historical view and not just the end time view, I'm going to tell you who that kingdom is that's going to rule over the whole world is revived Rome. You know what Rome's symbol was? The great eagle. That's right. Well, some of you aren't going to like that. Some of you patriotic folks. But I'm sorry, you're going to be deceived if you don't change your mind and repent because God's raising up a one world order, a covenant between all lost mankind through the beast and a covenant through all saved disciples of Christ through our covenant with Jesus Christ. You're either for me or against me, Jesus said, right? Well, some people have the traditional EU beast theory. They believe a beast kingdom is going to be raised up in Europe. And I have to tell you, folks, that that's just dead wrong. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, that was 10 toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom." Well, as you know, the kingdom that once was as ancient Rome was not a divided kingdom at all. History shows us that the iron devoured the gold, the silver, the brass. The iron, the last kingdom, the iron kingdom, the Roman kingdom, devoured all those previous kingdoms, dwelt in their land. So we're looking at something else. You know, shortly after that, we see Daniel's vision break at the thighs and break into two legs in this chapter. Well, it's a divided kingdom. And then later, it broke into 10 toes in the end time. It's a divided kingdom. And not only that, it wasn't totally iron in the toes. It was iron and clay. So you had iron separated by clay and separated by each toe, right? Separated kingdom. Now, what people think, what the great Bible teachers have thought, was that we're going back to that original kingdom back at the thighs. But as you know, at the end time, it's never going back that way. It's going to be broken into those 10 toes, separated from each other. Now, since we're talking about the seed of the Roman Empire in our day, we know that if you followed the seed, the languages of the original Roman Empire throughout the world, you would find just that, that they are throughout the world. They have traveled all over the world. The only thing separating them is clay, which was those peoples who were never part of the original Iron Kingdom. They are not the seed of the original Iron Kingdom. Verse 43 proves my point. It says, "Whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men." The Roman Empire didn't stay where it was. It went throughout the world. It mingled with the seed of men. Now, this point makes another point, that what we're talking about in the end time is the seed of those original kingdoms: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. The seed of all those kingdoms is the world today, folks. Especially when you talk about that the iron devoured all the gold, the silver, and the brass. And then when you take the iron and you put it together with the clay, you're now talking about all lost mankind in a one world order. And it goes on to say, "But they shall not cleave one to another." You see, we're not talking about the European nations who are next to one another. We're talking about separating them throughout the world. And if you don't believe us throughout the world, we're going to read some more verses here, okay? "The whole earth is in the body of the last United Nations beast." Right now, there is only one kingdom on earth that has 7 heads and 10 horns. All 7 heads, all 10 horns, and the seed of them. And that is the United Nations. Daniel 7 and 23, by the way, is a parallel revelation to Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel 7 and 23 says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth. A fourth kingdom upon the earth. Now, in this particular chapter, he speaks about instead of the gold and the silver and the brass, he likens these kingdoms to the lion with the eagle's wings and the bear and the leopard, you know, with the four wings. And then he comes to the ten-horned beast as the fourth beast. Now, from Daniel's day, if you count the fourth beast, it's our sixth beast. Okay? So the sixth beast was Rome. And Rome devoured Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. And Rome, along with the clay peoples of the world, make up the whole world today. He said it shall be a fourth or a sixth, if you count Egypt and Assyria, kingdom upon the earth. This sixth kingdom was also, if you follow the legs of Daniel's vision of the image of the beast, you follow them on down historically, you come to the legs and the feet. And, of course, that is the seventh and eighth kingdom. That is the dragon kingdom of Revelation chapter 12 and the beast kingdom of Revelation chapter 13. It goes on to say here, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms. What is different about this last kingdom, which is the seventh and the eighth kingdom? What is different about them is that they are corporate kingdoms and not individual kingdoms. You know, Egypt and Assyria and Babylon, these are all individual kingdoms. But this kingdom, which is spread throughout the whole earth, is taking in all nations. It's a corporate kingdom. Just like in the book of Revelation, corporate people are used. You know, the woman, the harlot, those are corporate people. See? Now, the beast also is a corporate person, but most don't know that and don't understand that. So they're looking for a beast that's not going to show up, and they're going to find themselves in the tribulation in the midst of this beast and wondering what's going on. They're not going to know what's happening because the letter has deceived them. Listen, the whole world lieth in the evil one, the scripture says. And he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. That's a spirit from heaven inhabiting the body of Christ. And a spirit from the pit, Revelation 17, inhabited the body of Antichrist. It's very simple, folks. It goes on here to say, and shall devour the whole earth. The whole earth. The beast, listen, the beast devours the whole earth. You say, oh yeah, we know, the king of the north, the king of... No, totally, totally false. That's a way that they use to try to fit their doctrine in there. No, it's devoured the whole earth. Look around you. Everything is inside the seven heads and ten horns now. Everything is inside the United Nations now. So while you're waiting for those wars to happen, guess what? The beast has devoured the earth. He is there waiting to devour the man-child, which he's going to fail to do because of God's almighty power. But at any rate, devoured the whole earth means it's inside, right? Swallowed up and inside. Okay, so all of fallen mankind is in the image of the beast. Daniel 3 and 1 calls this the image of the beast. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. And now he's going to identify it as the image of the beast. Whose height was 60, that's 60. The gematria, by the way, for earth in the Greek New Testament is 60. So it was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6. You know, 6 is the number of man, 6 cubits. And by the way, man was created on the 6th day, right along with the rest of the beasts. You say, why do I say that? because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that man is a beast. Ecclesiastes 3 and 18, I said in my heart, it's because of the sons of men, that God may prove them, that they themselves may see that they themselves are beasts. Verse 19 says, they have all one breath, which means spirit. They have all one spirit. All lost mankind has a common spirit that's born from beneath, Jesus called it. just as we are born from above of the Spirit of God, and our spirit is recreated in that image, they are born from beneath, and their spirit is recreated in the image of the devil. It's very, very simple, folks. You just got to put the puzzle together. God put it out there. He put it out there to deceive the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our day. It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. To them it's not given. Okay? Let me go on. He set it up in the plain of Dura. Dura is a word that means circle or dwelling. You know what that symbolizes? It symbolizes the world. What circle do we have that is the dwelling of all mankind? It is the world. You know what the gematria in Greek for world is? 600. So now you got 600, 60, and 6. Now isn't that neat? Did you know what Revelation 13 and 18 says? It says, here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast. What's the number of the beast? Well, it's all mankind in one image. Very simple. Let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. What man are we talking about? This image we're looking at right here. Daniel 3 and 1. That's the image of the beast. See, some people think it's a statue out in the field somewhere. The truth is, no. Just as we, as the body of Christ, are created in His image, the world are being created in the image of their father, the devil. Antichrist. So Revelation 13 says it's a number of a man. And his number is 666. There it is. 666 is the number of a man. And by the way, I saw a neat thing years ago. The sixth book in the New Testament is Romans. And Romans 6 and 6, which is 666, says, knowing this, that our old man, and man is the sixth verse, sixth word in that sentence, was crucified with him. You see, even your old flesh is a member of that kingdom. That's why it has to die. Your flesh is a member of the beast, and that's why it has to die. I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about the nature of the flesh. So what is this saying to us that the 666, 60 earth, 600 world, and 6 man? Well, I believe it's saying that men who are of the world, earthly, and are from the fallen creation are 666. That's who they are. The words, by the way, in the world in John 1 and 9, the gematria for that, if you add up the Greek letters, you know what it comes up to? 666. In the world. 666. Now, we're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? But they are of the world. And the whole world lieth in the evil one. We dwell in a different kingdom than they do. Even though we live in the same space, we dwell in a different kingdom. We're in the world, but not of the world. Well, Revelation, I'll tell you what, Daniel 3 and 7, it says, and all the peoples, the nations, and the languages. Now, who does that leave out? All the peoples, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image. So, what is this that would unite all peoples, nations, and languages? I mean, even the religions of the world. What is this that would cause the secular people of the United Nations, because that's the only thing we can see here, folks, is the United Nations. They're all together in one covenant. God is joining them for a purpose. Okay. The United Nations and all the people that belong to them. And I want to say that a lot of what we call Christians, they belong to the body of the beast because they walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh. They've already got the mark. They've already got the spiritual mark, not the physical mark, but the spiritual mark in the forehead and in the hand. They're members of that body. What would cause all religious, I'm going to use that term, and all secular people to worship this golden image? Well, haven't you ever seen, for instance, each nation, not only the religious people, but the secular people, are full of patriotism for that particular nation. It doesn't matter which nation. They're all very patriotic. They're very prejudiced for their nation. They think it's the greatest because it's the one they live in, right? It's kind of the nature of religion, isn't it? This is the religion I'm in, so it's the best, right? It's kind of a respect of persons, isn't it? You know. But actually, our respect of persons should be for persons that are in Christ Jesus, not for persons that are in the world. God's people are united with the world through patriotism. That's an abomination. Now, I'm going to tell you how that all secular people and all religious people outside of those who abide truly in Jesus Christ can worship this new nation. It's going to be a patriotic spirit. And it's going to be a very prejudiced spirit for those who come against this one world order, because that's what it is. See, folks, this is the beast covenant. They have lied to you about the beast covenant. This is the beast covenant. The joining of the whole world, including Israel, yes, and including Christianity. That's the bad part right there. Because in the New Testament, it's not him that's circumcised in the flesh that's a Jew, but him that's circumcised in the spirit. We are the sons of Abraham who walk by faith. We are the ones that are very offensive to God to make a covenant with the world. And a lot of people in ignorance are going to cheer this covenant. They're going to think it's the best thing that ever came along. A lot of so-called Christians are going to just cheer it. They are going to think it's the most wonderful time of peace that's coming upon the world. Because it's going to come after a great war, you see. So they're going to think it's great. They're not understanding this is the beast covenant. It's the worst thing, according to their way of thinking, that they've been predicting, although they've been describing it in the letter, and they're not recognizing it. Now, I know that nothing really bad can happen to God's people. He works all things together for their good. Even this beast kingdom. It's because God's people are so rebellious that he has to raise up these beast kingdoms to bring them to their cross. Let me tell you something, folks. The beast kingdom, the mark of the beast, isn't the devil's idea. It's God's idea. He's done it throughout history. He took credit for raising up Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome. He took credit for every one of those. And he sent them against a profane nation. Isaiah chapter 10, read that. That's the Assyrian beast coming against God's people in the Old Testament. That's what he said, a profane nation. He said he gave them a charge to do that. He put it in their heart. Read it, Isaiah 10 and 5. He put it in their heart to do that. So who is raising up a one world beast now? Why does it have to be a one world beast? It's because God has a one world people now. It's not just little Israel over in the Middle East that he raised up individual beast kingdoms to come against to crucify little Israel. Now, it's Israel worldwide. We who are grafted into the olive tree, which the Bible says is all Israel. We're grafted in through our faith in Jesus Christ. So, God's people around the world need a beast now. So, God's raising up a one world beast to come against our one world order. It's going to take every bit of what God is doing here, folks. This is God's mercy, God's grace. You see, we have to lose our life in this world. God's people do not want to lose their life in this world. They do everything, make up every kind of doctrine they can think of to save their life in this world. Here's another one, Revelation 17, and verse 1 says, "The great harlot that sitteth on many waters." Sitteth on many waters. Notice she's been sitting there a long time, folks. It's present tense. The harlot's a lot bigger than you think she is, too. This harlot went way back before Rome. Did you know the Catholic Church didn't start till Rome? But this harlot went all the way back to the beginning. From the time that Cain killed Abel. That's what Jesus said. Until the time of Zechariah, that the blood was upon that people. And in that case, he was talking about Israel. So you see, the harlot goes way back before the Catholic Church. The harlot is the mother, the corporate body of all apostate religion. Revelation 17:1, the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Now, who are these waters? Well, verse 3 says, I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now, folks, verse 1 and verse 3 are parallel. She's sitting on the waters and sitting on the beast. What does that tell you? The beast is the waters. And this beast had 7 heads and 10 horns. And in verse 15, it says, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the harlot sits on the beast, she sits on the waters, and we're now told that these are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Wow. So the beast is this great one world order. The words, where the harlot sitteth, have a gematria of 666. She is sitting upon the one world, the one man, Revelation 13 speaks about, the one world order, the image of the beast that we read about. For those of you who don't know what a gematria is, gematria in this case is adding up the Greek letters in where the harlot sitteth, because the Greeks use their letters for their numbers. So every letter stands for a number. So when you add up the numbers, you come up to 666. Now you can understand why so many people, the names of so many people, like Kissinger and the Pope and Prince Charles and so many other people, you know, that why their name adds up to 666. They can't all be this man that's coming upon the world to conquer the earth, can they? Well, actually they can. All together, that's who they are. All together. The whole world lieth in the evil one. Now, here is wisdom, Revelation 13 and 18 says. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That is, the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Awesome. Some complain that the beast really could not be the whole earth because he is separated from the kings and their armies whose flesh is killed in Revelation 19, 17 through 21. You know, he is thrown into the fiery pit, right? Well, let me point something out to you. Revelation 19 and 20 says, and the beast was taken, and what? Well, he was cast alive into the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. And verse 21 says, and the rest were killed with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, even the sword, which came forth out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. So the armies were all killed. The armies of the beast were killed by the sword of the Lord, but the beast was cast into the lake of fire. Now, who's the beast? Well, if you've been with us for a couple of meetings here, we discovered that the beast is a spirit that comes up out of the pit, which was the exact, for the revived Rome, by the way, which is the exact same spirit 2,000 years ago, according to Daniel 9, 26 and 27, that destroyed the city. He was a principality, we discovered. In Daniel 9, 26 and 27, who the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. So the Romans came and destroyed the apostate city of Jerusalem. And who was leading them and ruling over them? It was the principality of Rome. But you know, when Rome died, what happens to the spirit of a man when the man dies? The man may be slain upon the earth, but what happens to the spirit of the wicked man? That's right. You see, he's thrown in the lake of fire, exactly like this verse tells us. Exactly like this verse tells us. It's the same with empires who are men as it is with individual men. The beast, we know this because in Revelation 17 we see the beast coming up out of the abyss. And where is he going? Into perdition. Who is perdition? That is the sons of perdition, the sons of destruction. He enters into all the sons of destruction. Now, how can a principality which is not omnipresent enter in to so many people? Well, let me ask you this. How can Christ, whose individual spirit is not omnipresent, now, of course, the Holy Spirit is, how can he enter into so many people? Because the Holy Spirit takes of mine and declares it unto you, he said. The Holy Spirit's job is to recreate in you your born-again spirit, which is then the image of Jesus Christ. It is his born-again spirit. See, God is recreating in us the spirit, the soul, and ultimately the body of Christ. Are we called the body of Christ? Yes, and that's pretty much a word of faith. Because that's what's going to come to pass. The true people of God are going to be the body of Christ. Now, the devil is doing the same thing with his demons that Christ is doing with his angels. He is using the principality of Rome, who comes up out of the pit with the hordes of demons in Revelation chapter 9, to inhabit mankind. He is using each one of them to recreate in them a spirit like unto the devil's. Just as Jesus is doing the same thing with us. He uses the angels to recreate in us the Spirit of God. I'm talking about in our human spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell in the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies, folks, is your spirit. The Holy of Holies of the temple is your spirit. God recreated your Holy of Holies. He sanctified your Holy of Holies when you got saved. He gave you a spirit in the image of Jesus Christ. It's called in the Bible in Romans 8, the Spirit of Christ. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him who raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he gives life to your mortal body. You see, he's talking about a born-again spirit of Christ in you, and then he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming to dwell in the Holy of Holies. There is a difference. Well, I can prove what I'm saying here in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 11. It says, I beheld until the beast was slain. Listen carefully. I beheld until the beast was slain and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. Did you see that? The beast is just like a man who dies on earth, and his spirit is thrown in hell. Here it is. I beheld till the beast was slain, its body destroyed, and it. Why does it say it? Because it is not the body. It is the spirit that went to the pit, that came up out of the pit to indwell the body called the sons of perdition. The beast is a spirit. Antichrist is a spirit. We just read that. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Every spirit, the Antichrist. That means all lost mankind whose spirit does not confess that Jesus lives in them, that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Notice, Antichrist is a corporate body. Like Ecclesiastes says, all men are beasts, and they only have one spirit. They have all one breath. The Hebrew word there is the same word everywhere else for spirit. That's the one from the abyss, folks. Did you know that just as the beast is a corporate body, there is a corporate body of demon spirits coming up out of the abyss, ruled by the principality of Rome because he is being released to revive his empire, the Roman Empire. And this corporate body of spirits is going to enter into a corporate body of humanity. Everyone whose spirit does not confess that Jesus Christ is in them, they're going to be totally possessed before the end of this thing. Not that they don't have a fallen spirit now, but they're going to be totally possessed. God's going to turn them totally over to a reprobate mind. And you want to know why the whole world would want to fight against God's people? Well, ask the Jews back during the Holocaust. They couldn't believe it either, that the nations all around them should suddenly become so anti-Jewish. And this time it's going to be anti-Christ. So you see, it can happen very suddenly, and it's about to happen very suddenly. What you need to know and understand is the truth about what's really coming upon the world. While the great Bible teachers are deluding God's people with their fairy tales, God's people are being deceived by this great delusion that the Bible speaks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The great delusion is the letter, folks. The letter is deceiving God's people. The letter deceived God's people in Jesus' day. Why were the saints beheaded in Revelation chapter 20? Because they held the testimony of Jesus, which the Bible says is the spirit of prophecy. The true people of God are going to be hated by the religious crowd because they believe the true spirit of prophecy. Not the letter, the spirit of prophecy. They're going to be hated. They're going to be persecuted. They are a threat to the status quo. They love truth. Like Jesus and his disciples, who were looked on as a cult in those days. History just repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and things that have been done are the things that shall be done. The true Christians in these days, folks, are going to be looked on as an enemy of this wonderful peace covenant that even the Christians are going to embrace, the so-called Christians are going to embrace, not realizing it is the covenant of the beast. They're going to embrace it. Multitudes of what we call Christians are going to take the mark of the beast. They're going to worship the image of the beast, just like Israel did. 10 out of 12 tribes worship the image of the beast, the golden calf. History will repeat. The things that have been are the things that shall be. The things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing, no new thing under the sun. Well, David, how does this fit with the beast in Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11? Well, let me tell you something, folks. When you read Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11, all you got to do is read history. Read the Maccabees and read Josephus, and you'll find out that that was all fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes. So, they're saying that that literally speaks of the end time Antichrist. No, it literally speaks of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes is a type, an Old Testament type of a New Testament corporate body. Why do I say that? Well, think about Ahab and Jezebel with the prophets that sat at Jezebel's table. Now, everybody looks at Jezebel and says, she's got to be the harlot because all the false prophets sat at her table, right? Yeah, but Ahab was represented a corporate body too, because he was the king of the northern 10 tribes. He was the beast with the 10 horns. You know, the horns represent the power of the weapon of the beast, right? So there you have two corporate bodies, but God used individuals to point them out. Jezebel was even devoured by the beast, just like the book of Revelation says. The dogs ate her, remember? And Ahab Ahab and Jezebel were ruling over the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah. See? That's the mother goddess religions and the apostate Protestant religions. That's what it represents. So here you got individuals in the Old Testament represent a corporate body in the New Testament. That's common. Jesus came in the end of the Old Testament, and by the time the covenant was cut, which was when his blood was shed, he became a corporate body. You understand, when Jesus died, he died to go away, but to return again in a corporate body to do the same thing. The corporate body is called the body of who? Christ. So who is Christ in the earth today? A corporate body. Who was Christ in the Old Testament? An individual. It's common throughout the Old Testament. And now what God is showing to us is that when you take an Old Testament man who represents the beast and you drag him into the New Testament, you have to translate it. Like every other doctrine that you take from the Old Testament and bring into the New Testament, it has to be translated. What did Antiochus do? Well, he brought a statue of Jupiter, which was the head god of the Roman Empire, into the Holy of Holies. Had relations with the harlot on the altar, too. Sprinkles swine's broth on the altar and all kinds of things. See, some people really are dealing with the swine's broth. It's not the blood of Jesus. It's the beast. It's the beast in the temple. And I want to tell you right now, folks, you know who all those false preachers are out there? They're the prophets of the Asherah and the false prophets of Baal. And they're being ruled over by Ahab. The beast is in the temple. No, Jerusalem can't even build a temple. Israel can't build a temple that God would inhabit. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. But the church is a temple in the New Testament. The only one that has priests, that has a sacrifice, that has offerings. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Well, you say, well, what about the wars between the king of the north and the king of the south and so on and so forth? Well, folks, who is the king of the north? Let me tell you something. Notice in Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11 that the king of the north, the king of the south, all of them were in the upper hemisphere of the earth. The king of the north in the upper hemisphere of the earth today is Russia and the nations that will follow Russia. The bear, who is going to conquer the eagle. Where's the eagle? The eagle is south of the 47th parallel. The bear is north of the 47th parallel. Who's the king of the north? When you're talking about, think about this, when you're talking about a one world order, you don't have to be directly north and directly south because it's around the world. Who's the king of the northern part of the world? It's Russia. And the southern part of the northern hemisphere. It's because it's always been in the northern hemisphere that the king of the north, king of the south, kings of the east, all, in every case, has been in the northern hemisphere. So, America is the king of the south. And Russia will lead the UN beast against America. And the kings of the east will be joined into that. Did you know that when the nations came together in Zechariah 14, what happened? All nations came. When is that? You see, what the false prophets have told you is that the wars between the king of the north and the king of the south, these wars happen during the tribulation period, because that's how the beast devours the world. False. He's devouring the world in peace. These wars don't happen until Armageddon. Read Zechariah 14. Because what happens? It says, behold, a day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord, you know, is after the 7 years. The day of the Lord cometh when thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations. There's a UN all the way up until the end of the tribulation period. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now, what happened in the day of battle, let me point it out to you. We've got history to prove exactly what he's talking about. It says, as when he fought in the day of battle. Well, if you go to 2 Chronicles 20, you see Jehoshaphat's war against a beast kingdom that was coming against him. You know what it was? Three armies that had joined together to conquer Israel. Read it. 2 Chronicles 20, 15, 22, and 23. And guess who they were? They were the king of the north. That's right. The king of the east and the king of the south had gathered together to destroy Israel. And guess what God told Jehoshaphat? You won't have to fight in this battle. I'm going to fight. What did he say in Zechariah 14? He's going to go forth and fight when he fought in the day of battle. And how did he fight? Well, when he went out to fight, here's what he did. He caused the king of the north to join with the kings of the east to conquer the king of the south. Exactly what happens in Zechariah 14 and in the end time. The king of the south is America. We have there the bear conquering the eagle again. History repeats. So, when God went forth to fight, He divided this army that came as a united nations. They came as one. He divided it so that the north and the east fought against the south, and then the north fought with the east. There's where your wars are right there. Now, we have another confirmation because in Judges chapter 7, in Gideon's battle, the exact same thing happened. The exact same thing. A united nations came against Israel. God fought for Gideon. They blew the trumpets, right? And the trumpet, of course, is what turns breath into audible voice. You know, breath is the word spirit. And it's the trumpet represented the words of the Spirit. The word of the Spirit divided the army, the UN army that came against Israel in Judges chapter 7. And what happened? The same thing. They fought it out. They killed one another. And Israel was saved. Zechariah 14 and 13 says, "And it came to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor. His hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor." So that's how God does it again. He's just going to divide the nations. But when does this happen? It says here it's in the day of the Lord. Doesn't say it's in the tribulation at all. You mean there's going to be a united nations? Yes. Seven-head, ten-horned agreement between the nations for 7 years. 3.5 years in Revelation chapter 12. Seven-head, ten horns. And 3.5 years in Revelation 13. Seven-head, ten horns. This is the beast covenant that's coming upon the world. And what we've heard is the traditions of men. While they're looking for this man to show up on his white horse, he's here already. He's about to judge New Testament Israel. He's about to bring God's people to their cross. It is the man, all right. It's the man in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. The image that's all nations in one image of the beast. And why has God done this? Why has He deceived the multitudes of Christianity by their traditions? It's because they don't love the truth. They don't want the truth. Don't want the truth. They're in idolatry with Babylonish religion. Apostate Christianity. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." This strong delusion is going to cause multitudes to take the mark of the beast when they don't even believe it's the mark of the beast. Because they don't know what the beast is. And they don't know what the covenant is. For the next, I don't know, maybe a week or two, we will talk about more and more about this covenant. What it actually looks like. What it constitutes. We're going to have a lot of scripture to back us up, just like we have so far. And hopefully God will give you eyes to see so that you're not destroyed by this great ravage that's coming upon the world. What's coming in the near future, folks, is a man-child ministry. God is raising up a ministry likened to Jesus' ministry to bring the truth back to His people. He's going to do that. I can't tell you who they are. You'll know it because Christ will live in them. That's how you'll know them. America is about to go into another Middle Eastern war. It's It's identified and it's described in Jeremiah 25 with the nations that Babylon, the great eagle, conquered. They're about to go into another Middle East war to conquer more of those Middle Eastern nations, exactly as Babylon did. The whole world is going to cry out because of the nuclear and biological catastrophes. And they're going to decide to put together the UN with teeth this time. Daniel described it with teeth, great iron teeth. And it was different, according to Daniel's description, diverse from all the kingdoms before. This one is going to be different. I tell you, the whole world's going to rejoice, including most Christians, are going to rejoice at this covenant, not realizing that this is the covenant. God said He would send a strong delusion. This is it, folks. It's upon us. I tell you, you need to get into the Word of God and put it in your heart and get prepared for what's coming, because this is just the tip of the iceberg of the lies that have been spewed out upon God's people to destroy them. It's just the tip of the iceberg. Many of the doctrines are so apostate, Christ couldn't come in a people that believe those things. God bless you, brethren. We love you.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red.